On this Father's Day, I would like to ask you a question based on the text today and other scriptures elsewhere. Is it easy parenting today? Is it? Well, that was my next statement. I don't think it's ever been easy parenting. You know, I think of my parents. Their parents had to work through the Great Depression. And so I remember my mom and dad, they never threw anything away. Even pieces of paper, like envelopes, they'd cut up into small pieces to use to take notes, because they remembered what it was like to grow up and not have much. And so it wasn't easy in those days. And then you think about generations before that, with diseases that went on and all the things that was going on in society over the ages. It's never really been easy parenting. But before I get into answering that question, I wanted to personally thank Dr. Joan Curtis last week for filling in for me while I was away at annual conference at Hofstra University, and we had a chance later on that day to listen or watch the service and see Joan's incredible message on Pentecost. But she didn't keep her promise, and I have to make her aware of that. She said she was going to keep it under 12 minutes. I think she went 14 minutes, so you blew it, girl. But she did a good job, and I thank her for that. Yes, yes. So back to the question, is it easy parenting? And I think the question to that, the answer to that question is, it's an honor and a privilege to do so, but it's never really easy to parent. But having said that, I want to just say that I believe this generation is faced with some challenges that previous generations never faced, which makes it a difficult job, parenting today. With the coming of the technological age of internet and Facebook and Snapchat, and I don't even know what these kids are watching today, but there's a lot of challenges with our children today. A lot of peer pressure, bullying and drinking and drugs and premarital sex and all that good stuff, that not good stuff, but bad stuff. But the bottom line is our kids are challenged today. They're under a lot of peer pressure. And then what we see coming out of Hollywood and we see in magazines and TV and movies and what the hip thing is, it's scary. And I really think parents have a tremendous job today with all of these challenges that are facing their children. So I would suggest that parenting is not easy. And so my message this morning is going to deal with that on this Father's Day. I was really struggling. Should I preach on Trinity Sunday or Father's Day? It's always that. And then I tried to mix the two and that didn't work out. So I think I'm just going to stick with Steps in Being an Effective Dad. That's the name of the title of my message this morning. But I want to share this with you. If you're not a dad, I think this message still applies in the main, or generally speaking, to anybody. I think we could glean some of these points and place them in our own lives as we function and live out the Christian faith before the world, but certainly before our families. Sometimes as a father, we wonder if we're doing the right thing for our family. I know I struggle with that. Young dads wonder if they're spending too much work time away from the family, or their activities, their mindset is kind of away from the things that they feel they should be doing more with their children and their wives, and I know what that's like. I remember as a young dad working crazy hours, overtime, and feeling somewhat guilty about the time that I took away from my family. And then living way out in Port Jefferson and working in New York City, just my commute alone was a second job. And so I wondered, am I doing the right thing? Am I balancing out my life well? And yet, I want to say, I understand how costly it is to live on Long Island. There's a lot of young people that are wondering if they could even stay here and function on Long Island with the taxes and the cost of living and everything else. A lot of young people are thinking about fleeing Long Island and going south or other parts of the country where it's cheaper to live. And that saddens me because I want to see the next generation come up. And this island is beautiful. It's a beautiful place to live, and I want younger generations to experience that. But having said that, I also understand that parents today, many of whom are working as couples, right? You know, when I was a kid, my mom was home. It was kind of expected. Today, moms are out working just as hard as the dads to make ends meet, to pay those taxes, the mortgage, the food prices, putting gas in the car, insurance, and all those things. So I fully understand that it's a tender balance in time spent with family and time trying to make ends meet. And I get that. And so I certainly am not trying to make dads feel guilty this morning. And then you think about the commute, the time you're spending on the job, and all the effort that you have to put into that. And you wonder to yourself, you're torn with the remaining time. And mind you, you got to sleep 6, 7, 8 hours a night, right? So when you look at the hours that are remaining, you're struggling with, how do I apply those hours? How do I use that as quality time with my family? And it's not easy, and I get that. I believe it's very difficult today. And now I'm dealing with dads, but I think we could also apply this to moms, is that it's marriage is difficult today. You know, 50% of people that get married, and I think it's higher than that, wind up in divorce. And by the way, the same figure is in the church. So Christians can't look down their noses and say, oh, you know, it's just out there, it's those folks. No. Why? Because it's not easy being married today. It's not easy living together as a couple when you grew up in two different homes and two different sets of customs and so forth. Is that true about marriage? It's not a cakewalk. It takes tender balance and working things out and not always getting your way and things like that. It reminds me of a story about there was a couple celebrating their 50th anniversary. And the wife was all smiles, but the husband had tears in his eyes. And so the wife squeezed his hand and said, honey, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And he said, well, 50 years ago today, your father put a shotgun to my head and told me that if I didn't marry you, I was going to spend the next 50 years in jail. And I just want to say that had I listened to him, tomorrow I'd be a free man. That was terrible. Yeah, that was terrible. I'm sorry, Lord. But the point is, it's not easy living a married life. It's not easy raising a family. And I get that. But all kidding aside, how do we become good fathers and Christ followers? How do we become good fathers? Is there a playbook? Is there a way that we could say, you know, we could glean some things that will help us? Because, you know, kids don't come with instructions. The last time I saw anything instruction-wise was when I bought my kids Cabbage Patch dolls, and there was something written on the butts of those little dolls. I'm not even sure you could say butt in church, but I just did. But you need to be a person of conviction. What do I mean by that? Verses 1 and 2 of what Kathy read says that a person is blessed when he lives a life when we firmly stand on that which we believe. That's conviction. This is what I believe. And it may not be popular in society. It may not sound good to my coworkers or my neighbors or even some of my family members. But this is a conviction I have. And this is what I believe. In other words, we stand on doing that which is right. I want to share a story with you. Many of you know I was a police officer for a long time in New York City. And as a young rookie, And I'm talking about a wet behind the ears rookie. I had a sergeant named Sergeant Hank Edwards. And this is what he said to me. He said, and by the way, he was a World War II vet. He had been on the job since Teddy Roosevelt was the commissioner. And he said these words to me, "Kid, you'll do well on this job if you remember one thing." What's that, Sarge? Always do the right thing. Always do that which is right, and you'll do well on this job. And if you don't, you won't do well on this job. And I thought about that and how he lived his life before us young officers. He walked the talk. Hank Edwards was a guy that he was a man of integrity. He did the right thing, and he lived that life before us. And I found out later on he was a strong Christian man. He was a devout Christian. And he lived his faith out. He didn't wear his faith on his sleeve. He didn't walk around carrying a Bible, beating us over the head with biblical verses. He just lived his faith before us. That's conviction, my friends, to say that I'll always do the right thing. Well, you see, dads can transfer what that sergeant said to us young officers into our own lives. And this is it. Always do the right thing before your children. And I want to add, even when they're not watching, do the right thing. But they certainly should see a role model of a dad that does the right thing. So how could you blow that? You go to the store and the clerk gives you $20 more than she should have. And what do you tell your kids in the car? "Let's go get ice cream." No, you say, "She gave me $20 too much. We got to go back and return it." And what you've done is you've set before those kids an example of what honesty and integrity is and what it means to be a person of conviction and do the right thing. Because they're always watching. Our kids are watching. We may not think they're watching. And you know what? A lot of times they're not even watching with their eyes. They're watching with their ears. They hear everything we say and everything we do. And it determines, how do we stand in their presence? And I'm not even talking about what we do before God. I'm talking about what we do before our kids. There's no better playbook, dads, for how to be a good dad than the Bible. It's chock full of information of what it means to do the right thing and be a person of conviction. Seeing how Jesus lived his life and gleaning from that of how we should live ours. The ultimate goal of a Christian, any Christian, not just dads, is to emulate Jesus. We used to wear these bracelets years ago. They made a lot of money on it. WW, what would Jesus do? And that armband was supposed to, "Oh, what would Jesus do in this situation where this guy just cut me off on Sunrise Highway? Do I chase him down?" No, I don't think Jesus would do that. "Yeah, but he turned over tables in the temple." "Yeah, I know, but he wasn't riding on Sunrise Highway." What would Jesus do? He would let it go and be that example before the world. And I love that. How many times in Scripture do we see people going to Jesus for guidance and help? And I want to just take that a little further. There's several places in Scripture where parents, moms and dads, brought their kids to Jesus looking for help and guidance. Do we as fathers go to Jesus in prayer for our children? Do we pray for our children? That's important. I will say this. I don't know if it's in Scripture anywhere, but I believe it. I believe God listens a little bit more to mothers than dads. Watch out for a praying mom. But God listens to dads too. And are we praying for our kids? Are we praying over our kids? Have we taught our children to go to God when they're in need? It's called conviction, my friends. So the first thing that we need to look at is, are we a person of conviction who lives out those convictions, especially dads, before our children? The second thing we need to do is to become a person of compassion. You see, friends, it's not enough just to be a person of conviction. It has to be coupled with being a person of compassion. A person of compassion has feelings for others, empathy, understanding, concern, warmth, tenderness, kindness, mercy. Certainly Jesus, as our model, lived out his life of all those characteristics and traits that you see before you on the screen. Being tender. Compassion is a quality that may challenge the stereotypical model of what it means to be macho, right? If you're a macho man, you're not a tender man. I remember in my nephews here today, my father used to tell me all the time, you know, he was an Army guy, and even before I went in the Army, I was in the Army. I mean, you know, he was the drill sergeant. But my dad would always tell me and my brother, real men don't cry. Baloney. Especially you. But real men...
Like Jesus, brother.
That's right. Real men do cry. Now, here's the good news, and I may have shared this before. In the later years of my dad's life, he would cry at a toilet paper commercial. I mean, you know, if he saw, you know, he became very tender later on in his life. And so real men do cry. It's a God-given emotion. God gave us that emotion. And men should be able to cry. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, your kid got a C on the report card and you go, oh, no, I can't believe it. No, don't go there. But I am talking about we can be tender as men. And compassion helps us with dealing with our children when they mess up. Dads, has your kids ever messed up?
Never,
of course not. But I want you to be honest with yourself. Have you ever messed up?
Today.
We mess up all the time, and I'm sure when we were kids, and that's why dads and moms are so shrewd and smart, because we already know what people are doing out there because we've tried it. And so we have messed up many a times in our own lives when we were young. Compassion doesn't make us weak individuals, but rather helps us to deal with our kids and to help them navigate through their stuff. And every kid's going through stuff, and it's a way of getting into their lives and just helping them. And they don't grow out of that. Even as they get older, they'll email you, they'll call you, and they're still looking for some kind of advice. And are we there for them in a compassionate, tender way? And so in being good fathers, we need to be a person of conviction, and we need to be a person of compassion. Thirdly, we need to be a person who's open-minded. We need to be a person who's willing to listen to others. And here's the hard part, being willing to change our ways if we're wrong. Right? Now there's a challenge. To be strong and secure enough to be willing to say, we are wrong when we're wrong, and that we're not always right. This is where pride gets in the way. I'm not going to admit I'm wrong to my kids. They'll think I'm a wimp. But sometimes we are wrong. This is where we find it difficult to admit we're wrong in general, but especially with our children. I want to share a story with you. I had a young father stop by my office one day when I was pastoring in another church. And I could tell he was really flustered, and I could tell there was something heavy on his heart. And at that time, there were a lot of layoffs going on. I had a lot of IBMers in my church. And on a pretty consistent basis, either supervisors came in telling me they had to lay off a third of their department, or they came in to tell me they were laid off. So I assumed him working for IBM that he was going to drop that other shoe on me, that something happened on the job, but that's not the case. Earlier that morning, he lost his cool with his teenage daughter. And he started shouting at her. And even worse than that, he started calling her names. And that young teenage daughter fled out of the house crying to go catch her school bus. And at first, he thought to himself, she deserved it. And then all of a sudden, it hit him that he didn't do the right thing and his actions were wrong. So we walked through the scenario together and came up with these things that you see on the screen before you. We talked for a while. He had to own his own feelings and take responsibility for them. Forget about what your daughter did. What did you do? Own your own feelings. Connect those feelings to how you responded to her. Apologize for what you did. Recognize your daughter has feelings too. With God's help, make every effort not to repeat that behavior again. And lastly, man up and ask your daughter for forgiveness. Wow. That's a tough one. Later that night, because on Sunday, he shared with me what had happened, he did just that. He went in his daughter's room and he said, "Could we talk?" And he said, "Honey, I was wrong and I apologize." And she admitted she was wrong for what she had done. And they embraced one another. And she says, "Daddy, I love you and I'm so proud of you." That's what Christ-like behavior can do. When we don't do it the world's way, but we do it Jesus' way. His ability to be open-minded and strong enough to say, "I was wrong. I have to own my part of what happened this morning. And I apologize." You see, he came to an Ephesians moment, Ephesians 6:4. It says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." Don't exasperate your kids. And listen, parents could do that. We could really exasperate our children when we handle things the wrong way. Remember, there was only one perfect person who walked this earth. And let me tell you, look in the mirror. I'll look in the mirror. It's not us. It was Jesus. Only one perfect person. So when we blow it, admit it, and get it together and move on. Be able to change your mind. Lastly, we need to be a person who, after putting God first, we put our family second. God first, family second. Are we faithful to our wives? Are we committed to our children? You see, if we're faithful to God first, He will give us the wisdom and the strength to remain faithful to our families. A lot of people get that wrong. They go, "Well, I can't put anything before my wife and my kids." Oh, yes, you can. You put God first, God will make sure everything works out for the better as a dad and as a husband. We need to love our wives and family like God loves us. And there's two things they need from us the most. Not money, not promotions, not big houses, not fancy cars, not gadgets. What they need from us, our families, they need godliness and they need time. They need our time. These are the things that we could work on and do better. I really believe that. So, in conclusion, to be a good father takes hard work. It's not easy being a dad. It's not easy being a mom. But the rewards are amazing. There's nothing like seeing our kids grow up and do something. And you know what? Even when our kids mess up, to still be there to help them navigate, to get on track, to be productive, to have a solid ground under their feet. It's a privilege to be in such a position. And we could start anytime. It doesn't have to be just young dads. It could be older dads. A whole new chapter could be written today. A whole new start could begin. Even if our kids are grown and they have their own children, it doesn't matter. God, our Heavenly Father, loved us so much. The Bible says in John 3:16 that He sent His only begotten Son to come into this world and die for us. That's how much God loves us. And so when we look in the mirror, dads, how much do we love our wives and how much do we love our children? Is it with everything or is it just with what we have left over? So today on this Father's Day 2019, it could be a whole new start for us, dads. If we think about the work that needs to be done on becoming a person of conviction, which means doing the right thing, a person of compassion, loving unconditionally, because our kids are not always going to please us, and we know that. being open-minded, willing to change if we have to change our ways, and putting God first in our lives and then our family, which means getting our priorities straight in our lives. You know what, dads? It really is Father's Day every day. Every day it's Father's Day. And it may be challenging at times, and I want to tell you, you already know it. It is. Oh, but it's so rewarding. Amen, guys?
Amen.
It's so rewarding. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I don't know if you know this. My father-in-law died many, many years ago, but he lives in my house every day. There isn't a day that goes by that my wife doesn't mention her dad. So, I mean, he's in the house somewhere. She's always saying, my dad did this. My dad always told us to do that. My father always said that we should do it this way. And I go, thanks, Dad. I really appreciate this. These are some big shoes to fill. But it's because he led that kind of life before my wife and her brothers. And so he lives on through them, and then they pass that on to their children. It's a beautiful thing when we could pass that legacy on by the way we live our lives.